This is the tail end of what happens. Remember, when we started the Gospel of John a long, 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 long time ago, we said the first four chapters are all about who is Jesus. Yes, remember that? Say yes. And then we said chapters 5 to about 12 talk about how people reacted in connection to who Jesus is. So the first four tell us who he is. All the way up to chapter 12 tell us how people connected with the ideology now of who Jesus is. So, raising of Lazarus, powerful story about who Jesus is. Who is he? He's the only one who can speak into death and make it come alive again. He's the only one who can bring what is dead to life. Be it Lazarus, or be it something in me, or be it even something in you, he can speak into you and bring it to life. That's who he is in the 11th chapter. This story, this ending, shows us how they dealt with that. Not very well. So we're going to take a look at an issue. We're going to take a look at a concern. Then we're going to take a look at the answer to the concern and the issue. We're going to take a look at the prophecy. And then we'll take a look at Caiaphas himself. All right? That's the plan. Here we go. The issue is verse 45 begins it, then we'll go to 47. The tomb where Lazarus was walking out of was surrounded by Jews because they had come with Mary and Martha because of their sorrow in the loss of their brother. And now Jesus shows up. He's going to do something really cool. And he says, let's all go out to the tomb. And so the Jews following Mary and Martha go out to the tomb. So the Jews are all out there just filling the place up. And they see Jesus speak into death and life comes out. And many of them believed. Well, they should have. They should have believed. Where else are you going to see something like this? For heaven's sakes. And then the text goes on to say, but some of them just couldn't keep their mouths shut about what they saw. And they had to go tell the Pharisees. Now, the great theological debate here, but it's not really that big a deal to me personally. Who went and told? Some of the ones who believed. They saw it. They believed it. They knew they had to do something about it, so they went to the Pharisees. Or were there Jews there who saw it but couldn't quite get their head around it, and they went and told the Pharisees? Well, who? Six one half dozen the other. But what we do know, they went and told the Pharisees. Continuing with the issue. The chief priests, the Pharisees, called the council. And they said, what are we going to do? What are we going to do? This is horrible. What are we going to do? For heaven's sakes, this guy is performing many signs. And signs in this text is miracles. So they're saying, what are we going to do? Because this guy, this Jesus rabbi guy, he is pulling in the power of God somehow, some way, to the extent that he can speak to death and death flees and life rises. What are we going to do with this guy? This is terrible. We can't let this keep going. We got to do something. So the issue is, what are we going to do with him? Because this isn't good. It leads to a concern. 48. But if we let him go on like this. Now, did you hear what he said? They said, if we let him go on like this. Who has the power here? God has the power. And it's God's release of the freedom of that power into the Jews, the Pharisees, the council, to allow them to fulfill their goal, which is they're going to be kill Jesus. But in the text, the implication of that is that they have sole power. If we let him, the only power they have is what God allows them to have. That's the only power they got, is what God allows them to have. So when you read that, you're thinking to yourself, well, God is giving them this power. And so whatever they do as a result of it will be a result of the freedom that God gives them. Okay, so far? If we let him keep on doing this stuff, everyone's going to believe in him. Everyone. Jew, Gentile, Samaritans. Everyone's going to believe in the guy. And if they all believe in him, you know what they're going to do? They're going to start raising a fuss. They're going to be hooping and hollering. There's going to be all kind of confusion and chaos in the streets. People are going to be screaming and jumping around. The place will go crazy if they continue to believe in this guy. And that's going to be terrible, because if all this anarchy breaks out and all this confusion and hysteria continues to break out because of what he's doing, the Romans are going to come. And if the Romans come, oh no, you know what they're going to do? They'll destroy the temple. And not only will they destroy the temple, they're going to destroy our nation. This is terrible. We can't let this go on. Because if they come and they destroy the temple, where will we worship? How will we have any power if we don't have a temple? Why would we be Pharisees if we don't have a temple? Why would we have priests if we don't have a temple? This is terrible. And they're going to destroy the nation? What will happen to our people? No. What will happen to us? We'll lose our power, our authority, our credibility. We'll lose control. This is terrible. We don't want the Romans to come. We got to stop the Romans. So what's the answer? Well, one of them, named Caiaphas, who's the high priest that year, he stood up. He said, y'all a bunch of losers. You don't see this? You don't get this? Come on, you guys. You don't understand? What's he saying? If you're sitting there and you hear Caiaphas stand up and say, hey, you guys know nothing at all. You do not understand. Your sense then is that he thinks he does. He thinks he does. He's calling you stupid, and the implication would be then he must think he's smart. But the only smarts he has is the smarts God gives him. So he don't know. He don't know. He's just speaking out of what God has given him, which is what is on the next slide. Don't you know that it's better for you if you have one man die for the people than to have the whole nation destroyed? You see, Caiaphas is there. He say, hey, this is not a big deal. We just need to kill him. Kill him. What's the deal? We've killed so many people already. Watch one more. Come on. Are you kidding me? We kill him. Passover comes. And we celebrate the Passover. And in a few days, all the Jews pack up their stuff. They get back on the interstate and they all head back home. And in a couple weeks, this will be a done deal. You know what I'm saying? Killed a guy. It's better just to kill him than let the Romans come, because we don't want the Romans to come. No Romans. No Romans. Just kill him. That's the answer. Now, you got to stop right there, because this is the end of Caiaphas' speaking. And now the authors of the Gospel of John just want to put a little footnote in here for us, because they think that we're not real smart either. And they want to explain what's going on. So they said, he didn't say that on his own. Boy, he's not that smart. He's no smarter than the rest of them. He didn't say that on his own. But being the high priest that year, God spoke through him. God chose to speak through Caiaphas because Caiaphas was in the position of being the high priest. Caiaphas had the power, had the authority, had the position before all the other Jews, before the council. He was the one who was raised up to speak. And so God spoke through him. God spoke through him. And he prophesied that Jesus was about to die for the nation. And not just the nation. He's going to die for everybody. Gentiles, Jews, Samaritans, me, you. Stephen's going to die for the choir. Everybody. But they want to make sure we got it. There's two things going on here. There's Caiaphas' presentation and his focus on the social, political, religious perception and safety of the Jews. And then it's other folks, which would be us. We read this and we think it's all about eternal salvation. Praise God. Praise God that God's working through Caiaphas to set this into motion. And you remember that Caiaphas is going to come up again in chapter 18. They have Jesus arrested. They bind him all up. They take him to Annas. Annas questions him, and Annas has him taken over to the Caiaphas, the chief, the high priest. And then once he's done, the Jews led Jesus from Caiaphas' place over to the palace of the governor, which, of course, you know, is Pilate. And then Pilate does his thing, and then it's off to the cross. So the question would be then, why would God use someone who's so anti-Jesus for a prophecy? Or would God use someone who's anti-Jesus for a prophecy? Because you remember that the prophecy deal is God speaking. God's power, God's authority, God's everything speaking through someone. And you think, well, he's going to pick someone powerful. He's going to pick someone who loves him, who honors Yahweh, who serves Yahweh. He's not going to pick someone like Caiaphas, but would he? Yes. He's done it before. If you think about, this is just one. There's lots of them in the Old Testament. It's just one. Moses is working with the folks. Things aren't going well. And he needs some help. So he calls on Joshua. And then in Numbers 27:21, the text says that he, Joshua, is to stand before Eleazar, the priest. So God's going to speak to Joshua through Eleazar and give direction and guidance to Joshua. God's going to speak through the priest, which is what God did. We say, well, wait a minute, Eleazar, he wasn't the sharpest tool in the shed, but he was okay. Eleazar and Caiaphas? Caiaphas was not a nice man. No, he wasn't. Remember Joseph? Has the coat of many colors? Stupid enough to go tell his brothers that someday they're all worship him and all that kind of stuff. And so the brothers get a little bent out of shape about that. They attack Joseph, take his coat, tear it up, send it back to dad, saying, oh, look, a wild animal must have eaten our dear, precious brother Joseph. Isn't that sad? They throw him in a cistern, have him hang out in a cistern for a while. And then they see some traders come along, and so they pull him out of the cistern, and they sell him to the traders. You remember, the traders take him then, and someone else buys him, and he gets into the service of the king. Remember the story? Say yes. Yeah, oh, yes. And then eventually then, he gets to a high position, because Joseph's no dummy. He's a pretty smart guy. And all of a sudden, there's this huge famine. And who shows up? Knocking on Joseph's door. The brothers. And the brothers come in and say, well, you know, yada, 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 sir, this, sir. And Joseph says, hey, I'm no sir. I'm Joseph. Ha-ha. Gotcha. And they're scared to death. Remember all that? Say, yeah. Well, he says to them, now listen, now the brothers are not nice, okay? They're not nice, okay? Joseph says, listen, you intended to harm me. No, you intended to kill me. You intended to kill me, but God intended it for good, to accomplish what is now being done, the saving of many lives. Ooh, that should sound like what we just read about Caiaphas. Yes. So what about you and me? We say, how? Why would you even ask such a stupid question? Because we're no Caiaphas. We're not even as bad as Joseph's brothers, for heaven's sakes. Why would you even ask such a question? Oh, because Paul would disagree. He'd disagree. Paul would say, ain't a righteous one among you. Starting with the one who's running his mouth right now. Ain't a righteous one among you. Y'all bad. All of us. All of us got a little Caiaphas in us. We all do. We all got a little bit of Joseph's brothers in us. You have one of your family members jump up and tell you how great they are and see what you start thinking. Yeah, I know you. Yeah, right. Next family reunion. Oh, Thanksgiving's coming up. You all sitting around the table. Yes. And you be the one. You be the one who shares a little something wonderful about yourself. And see how that conversation around that Thanksgiving table goes now towards you. See, we all have that. We all have that. And so Paul's quick to point out, none of us are righteous. Not a person in here is righteous. Or we've all messed up. But then we jump back to John. And John 15:16, he says to his disciples, you guys are losers. You guys don't get anything. You guys all have a little bit of Caiaphas in you. You guys are not much better than Joseph's brothers, for heaven's sakes. But you did not choose me. I chose you. I chose you. I know you've got some Caiaphas in you. I know you've got some of Joseph's brother's junk in you. I know you do. But I chose you. I chose you. I appointed you to go bear fruit. Much fruit. Much fruit. So you see, even though Kip has some Caiaphas, even though some of you may have a little Caiaphas running through your blood, you've been chosen. Each of you has been chosen to go bear fruit. You say, but I'm not worthy. No, of course you're not worthy. I'm not good enough. No, of course you're not good enough. I can't do those things because I just don't do this, and I've been so bad, and I've done yada, yada. Yeah, you're right. You're right. Paul says so. You're right. Yeah, you got it. You nailed it down. Yeah. But Jesus says, yeah, I know that. I know you do. But I still chose you. I still chose you. I know you got the Caiaphas thing going on. And I know your thoughts aren't always righteous. But I still chose you. He sat with his disciples. He started with 12. They have a little conversation. Judas flees the room down to 11. And sitting with those 11, he says to them, you know what? Ain't a man in this room, except for Jesus. Not a man in this room. All the 11 of you. All got a little bit of Caiaphas in you. Remember that? Yes, yes. Every one of the 11 of you. Got a little bit of you in you, a little bit of stuff in you, just like Joseph's brothers. Envy, greed, selfishness, meanness, vindictiveness. Each one of the 11 of you has got it. And you're going to run from me? You're going to flee? I know you will. Because that's who you are. But you didn't choose me. I chose you. So now pay attention. He said to the 11, this bread is my body, broken for the forgiveness of your sins. Broken for every bit of that Caiaphas that runs through your blood and through your mind. My body's broken for that. My body's broken for every bit of Joseph's mean brothers that run through your life. My body's broken for those sins. So the 11 of you take, eat. And as often as you do so, do it in remembrance of me. Do it in remembrance of me. When the supper was over, he took the cup, gave thanks. He gave it to the disciples. He said to them, this is the cup of my blood, which is going to be shed for you. Take, drink. And as often as you drink of this, do it in remembrance of me. That even though there's a little bit of Caiaphas in each one of you, and even though there's a little bit of Joseph's brothers in each one of you, that's okay. I've got you covered by my blood. Take, drink. And each time you drink of it, remember. Remember. You didn't choose me. I chose you. I chose you because I love you. And I want you to go out and bear fruit for my Father, kingdom. I just love you so much. I know. Take, drink. Pray with me. Let this body, this bread, truly be for us the body of Christ. Let this chalice truly be for us the blood of Christ this very day. We just simply ask you, let it be so. In the name of Christ our Lord, amen.